You're listening to By Accident, Choice, or Grace. I'm Sebastian White, founder of the Evolve Network. This is a space for thoughtful conversation, quiet disruption, and the kind of reflection that transforms. Together, we'll explore how the invisible shapes us, how we learn, grow, and heal, sometimes by accident, sometimes by choice, and sometimes by grace.
Welcome to By Accident, Choice, or Grace, the Evolve Network podcast. Excited to have you guys here with us, and I'm excited to bring Executive Director of Pilot Light, Alex DeSobro-Quinn. So welcome, thoughtful and welcome to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Sebastian, and it's a joy to work with you and to learn from you, and I'm really excited that you're launching this podcast so that everybody has the opportunity to learn from you in the way that I have and my colleagues at Pilot Light have, because you've just been a great partner, thought partner, actual partner in our classrooms, and a great friend to us all. So very excited to be here today.
This has been something that's been on my mind a lot in our conversations, and I've heard you speak in front of groups, and I think it often gets lost. When we talk about food education, it seems to live within a very narrow lane. And I think people miss all the opportunity and the possibilities that are out there. So I just wanted to ask you, from your perspective and your experience, what people often miss, and I'm calling it the invisible.
We can certainly talk about kind of what food education is and all the different pieces that it includes, and the invisible that I think gets lost when you're talking to somebody who's not in it all the time. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the invisible with the experiences that students or teachers or others are having, and you don't always see it until there's these little sparks that come through, and then you're like, oh yeah, that just happened. That wasn't even something we planned for. As far as kind of like food education, in thinking about the topic today, and I'm sure you know where I'm going with this, but when we started Pilot Light, the term food education wasn't commonly used. My background's in public health, and I worked on nutrition education programs in schools before I came to Pilot Light. And Pilot Light was founded, as you know, by a group of really wonderful, dedicated, talented chefs, Paul Kahn, Matthias Mergis, and Jason Hamill. And they started Pilot Light because as chefs, they saw the power of food in our lives and the importance of really appreciating this shared language of food that that we all have.
Being open to like unknown things that happen, that food can spark all sorts of questions, curiosities, moments, opportunities for connection, and not just with you and the food, with you and other people. Mm-hmm. It's a really beautiful thing, and it's not something that you can measure.
I was reflecting back at kind of this tension at first for me, and coming from a kind of a healthcare, public health, nutrition perspective, and jumping into an organization framing this as a food, we didn't even call it at that point a food education nonprofit, but really it was a learning for me, and as far as like what food education is and what it includes. And when I speak to kind of the invisible pieces of that and, you know, how we can concretely speak about those, one of the first things that we did was say, you know, we need a definition for this, because we were partnering with schools and introducing our program to principals and school leadership and teachers and parents. And just to frame how our program works, we partner with teachers to support them in embedding food education into classroom content. Yes. And that spans all grade levels, or pre-K through 12th grade. We have over 50% of our teachers and classrooms are here in Chicago, but we also have teacher school district partners across the country. And we were constantly sort of pigeonholed in these different areas because we were founded by chefs, folks thought we were a culinary education organization. Yeah. Because of my background, they assume nutrition education, certainly like agriculture and other kind of more common parts of food education were coming out. And we were, you know, we hit this point where we were like, we are, food is all of these things. and more.
Yes.
And at its core, being founded by chefs, it's really the ways in which food connects us and food brings us together. And so in 2017, we developed what we call our food education standards, which you're very yes. familiar with yeah. them. And we developed them to be really a definition of comprehensive food systems education for schools. And our first standard is food connects us to each other. They go on to talk about food and the environment, food sources and origins, nutrition, the influences, both certainly invisible influences in yeah. some ways on our decision-making, advocacy, and food justice.
How do you guys communicate about the invisible things and how they might show themselves? Is that a piece of what you guys are framing for them?
We worked with experts from different spaces to inform what those standards could be. So for instance, we had farmers, chefs, an eating disorder expert. We had nutritionists, we had educators, child development folks, psychologists, all together saying, you know, what are all these different components of food and how can we outline these in a way that makes sense for teachers in their classrooms? And it, as far as like the invisible that comes out, I think we very much lean into the expertise of our teachers and our team. They're just amazing. And they are true supports to our teachers. In addition to providing our standards, the content, professional development, training, connections within communities to bring this to life. And definitely teachers can guide that, but also students as well.
Do you have stories from teachers about things that have happened that they didn't expect?
I mean, a lot of this comes out with food advocacy and kids like caring about something.
Yes.
And Ray Elementary, where we both work through A Seat at the Table, it was a middle school classroom. And they also were interested in hunger and food insecurity. And they did some research around what they as a school community could do. And they came up with a share table, which if you haven't seen them in school lunchrooms, it's basically a table that's set aside for students to put foods that they haven't eaten mm-hmm. for other students to have them, to enjoy them. The students developed a whole presentation around this. They researched it. They proposed it to the school administration. It was approved. They developed a prototype and they launched it. And I mean, even it's really significant in terms of the impact that that can have on the school community, both in the conversations that students can have around really recognizing that our levels of access are different, our experiences with food are different, and what can we do collectively to help alleviate that in some way or to show that we care. Those are my favorite lessons where it starts with something and then it goes in 1,000 different directions. And a lot of times it's the students leading that charge. That's what we love to see.
And I think that's a piece of like the invisible piece that I'm trying to connect for folks and highlight. You can't measure how one connects to somebody else. Like that's hard. We can't measure how a kid connects with a piece of food that they like and enjoy.
So yeah, we have hundreds of examples like that where through the teacher and really having those conversations with students, it goes in different directions that are unpredictable, but beautiful.
Yes. Oftentimes things that are unpredictable kind of lean into that space, which is, I think, the cool aspect about food. A recipe, it could all be planned out in any particular way and something happens and mm-hmm. you have to be ready to adjust and ride with it. I think that's a beautiful lesson that gets embedded in it.
That's a perfect metaphor for this. It's, you know, you can prepare that food, you can have the recipe. Things go in different directions that you can't plan for. And a lot of times the product is still, it's still something.
Yes, it's still something
beautiful, and it influences you. It's impactful.
Being open to like unknown things that happen, that food can spark all sorts of questions, curiosities, moments, opportunities for connection, and not just with you and the food, with you and other people. It's a really beautiful thing, and it's not something that you can measure.
I mean, we've talked a lot about connection around in terms of relationships and understanding each other through food. There's so much as far as our choices and the impact both on ourselves, our families, our communities, our food system. It's really important that our next generation is armed with the knowledge and skills to make choices, informed choices, and creating points of impact and data that we can look to say this is really making a difference. But more than that, it's creating the stories.
I 100% agree with you. I know I've said this multiple times that you can learn each subject in school and use food and embed it in this really beautiful way that I feel is more connected to a person's lived experience. And it teaches them the value of why it's important to even take in this information. I feel like if we center food education on nutrition, not enough people value that enough in order to make it more meaningful. When we can describe these invisible things, these stories, and how they're impacting and changing perspective, informing choice, that I think translates beyond food. It translates into other areas in terms of how they're curious, the questions that they're asking, how they go about decision-making just in general. I think if we can communicate those stories for folks, it does show not just the invisible, but the magnitude of why this work is so important and how it impacts the kids that we work with.
When you just frame food as sort of nutrition education, there is so much loss there, but there's so much potential and and unfortunately for shame and stigma for kids and saying like, well, when I leave the school building, you know what, we don't have this food at home, or I'm not seeing that wherever I'm buying food. And, I think it's really important that, and I know you do the same, but really to approach this in a way that's not prescriptive, not to say that foods are good or bad, but, you know, just to really have it be about that experience.
Yes, 100%.
Education is so critical to that entire process around access and really building familiarity with different foods. But how do we create pathways for students when they leave a school building?
I think we can empower kids through the relationships that we create with stuff that they haven't tried and what they've tried, how you put it together. There's so many different ways. But if we create a relationship with something, I feel like we're more invested in said thing and to willing to fight for it, to advocate for it. So I think even just the exposure to a positive experience with something creates this framework where students can start to be advocates for this type of work and this type of an experience.
It's not easy, and it's not, it's a hard thing to do at scale. It's really, you have to go classroom by classroom, school by school.
For sure. I think even kid by kid.
Yeah.
A lot of situations.
While there is a lot that's invisible, both with students and teachers and really everybody, when we talk about access, it's something that's just top of mind for our team all the time. Like, how can we create access within a school, first of all, so that this education can happen? But second, how can we make those connections at home and in the community? And then I think one area that together and one thing we're certainly doing through A Seat at the Table is thinking about, you know, what does access look like with that?
So in navigating the invisible in food education, Alex and I have co-founded with Chef Sarah Stegner, have co-founded a coalition of nonprofits in the urban ag food culinary space, and working with some chefs and some other folks in the community. Can you talk to me about the coalition and more of what you think the coalition can do for this space in helping promote food education, both in what you can see and what you can't?
My hope and dream through our work at A Seat at the Table is that through this collective work of really framing out what that is, that we will be able to go out and say, these are all the benefits of this, and this is what you have in your backyard here. But here are the ways in which you can access it and make it really easy for especially schools to open this toolkit, and they can pick it up and read through and see, you know, what is available to them and what might be an option, and not have it be this mystery of navigating all these websites and knowing somebody. And our work together will really create, at the end of the day, more accessibility and greater reach collectively.
100%. I also think it sends a message about our togetherness and what that can mean. Because, you know, a lot of people think that we're competitors in a lot of ways. We're fighting for money, donors, all those types of things. But I think through this, we show that type of togetherness. That's a really beautiful thing that I wish and I think is needed in the world.
I do feel like in this journey, we're coming closer to realizing ultimately the power of this coalition.
It's hard navigating everybody. It's hard. But at the same time, people seem in and invested. I think they see the power of what this could be. And we're trying to support each other through it and make sure that we get to where we need to be and show off the power of what this could be.
Yeah, I agree. And I was so grateful to be included. You and Sarah are doers and activators. And it's been really cool to be part of that and to take, in some cases, like, let's not spend forever talking about something. Let's just do it.
Well, Alex, thank you so much. This has been a really incredible conversation. It's truly a pleasure working with you.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me today and for giving me the opportunity to talk about food education, which is one of my favorite topics. And likewise, it's just such a joy and an honor to work with you and to be partners and through our work at Pilot and the Evolve Network, but also a seat at the table. So looking forward to lots of great impact to come.
It will happen. Thank you.